Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Crossing the Spotlight. We've got a special show for you today. We're doing Christmas in July. We've never done this before. It was my wife's idea. And so if this doesn't turn out right, you can call and tell. No, I'm kidding. It was her idea, a good idea. We're looking forward to this. We're going to do just one show today. And we barely caught July. I think this is going to air August 31st. I think on VTN and some of the others, it might even hit, July 31st, I'm sorry. I think some of the networks are going to air it on August 1st. So we're calling it Christmas in July. Doc has a new book he's working on concerning Christmas. I think it's going to be called The Road to Bethlehem, but it's not ready yet, so don't look for it. It won't be long, though. And it's not just a Christmas story that he's working on. He's working on something. When you watch the show today, we're going to talk about it, and you'll get to hear some of the details of it. I'm going to read a verse for you, and then we'll bring Doc in. Micah chapter 4, verse 8, "And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem." Boy, what a mouthful that is, huh? we're going to have the music come on, and we'll be right back. Doc is here, and we're going to jump right into this. Stay tuned. Hey, welcome, everybody. Glad to have you with us for our Christmas in July. And we got some lit trees up here that we dug out of the back room there. I wish we had our red candles, but we didn't have them. But that's okay. We're going to have a good time. We're not going to talk about the typical stuff that we usually talk about. I want you to see all the stuff here, his DVD set right there, the CD set where you can listen to it instead of looking at it. And over here is a flash drive that has everything that's in here. And she's got it up there now for you. Doc's got a real good deal there. It's almost half price, it looks like, if you buy two of them, I think. So look at that on the website and get a head start on this. Here's the book. The book came out after Christmas. So the book didn't make some of the headlines of the show that we did during Christmas. This came in a little later.
Yep.
And Doc, I love the book. I love the cover of this book. This is really nice. And I like how it's set up with the big headings here. This says swaddling clothes. It kind of goes in order and talks about putting her away privily. The tax goes all the way back to the taxing. And then the inn, what the inn is. It's not what we've been taught. The Tower of the Flock, and then jumps from there and goes straight to the swaddling clothes and what that meant. The shepherds are in here somewhere. I think I skipped
it. Yes, they are.
There they are right there. I love that. I love to preach on that.
The shepherds, it's a wonderful
out there
truth.
In the field. And they're not, as you mentioned, they're not just shepherds. They're working for the government, basically.
Well, they're sanctified shepherds. They are a part of the priesthood.
Yeah, and they're providing the lambs.
The lambs were sacrificed
for Passover. Mm-hmm. And that's why they knew when the angel said, told them where to find the babe, you'll find the babe wrapped in a manger.
Well, he said, "This shall be a sign unto you."
Yeah.
That means they knew what he was talking
about.
They
did. They knew right where to go.
Yes.
And you got the section here on the angel's message, what the angel said. In Luke chapter 2, the Savior has come, and this is Born to Die, Born to Calvary. This is a song that's in here. Heaven's Star, that's an important star that the wise men are going to follow. And very interesting there, a lot in there. And much more.
The wise men's in there.
Yeah, and the wise men are not there at the birth of Christ.
Nope, that's why they're at the end of the book.
They're going to show up about a year and a half later, maybe 2 years.
About 18 months.
One way we know that is Herod had all the babies the boy babies, they knew the difference in male and female. They were all biologists back in those days. They knew the difference in a boy baby and a girl baby. And they killed, he ordered all the boy babies from 2 years old and younger because he was afraid to miss him.
Wanted to make sure he got them all.
Yeah. So that's evidence right there that these guys show up.
But I have a little bit of information out of the Roman archives concerning the trial that Herod was put on trial at the Senate in Rome. And he tells that story and a lot of other events that go with it. But
the world was upset with him for what he did, killing all those babies.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, it almost triggered a major war.
Yeah.
Because the wise men had already paid homage to him, and they get news that one they paid homage to is dead, and so they're ready to come to war.
52 pages. You can put this by your bed at night. You can read yourself to sleep every night, and it wouldn't take you long to read this. I would encourage you, if you couldn't get anything, get this book. I think this book would be very helpful to you. And you'll be the talk of the family at Christmas this year because you're going to know the truth.
That's right.
The truth of Christmas. That's the title of the book. You're going to know the truth about the wise men and when they showed up. Hmm. You're going to be able to tell your family why those shepherds. That can be a trivia you have on Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
Anyone know how them shepherds knew where to go?
That's right.
And you'll be able to tell them very simply. And many more things. All right, Doc, let's turn you loose here on your new stuff about the road to Bethlehem. This is interesting.
Well, none of it's new to me, but I just recently got to thinking about the books when she mentioned a few weeks ago of doing this kind of a show. That's when I started thinking about writing another book to go with the first one. I don't know exactly the name of it, but it's The Road to Bethlehem. And I take everybody all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, where it all starts.
I think that's a great title, but it needs a subtitle.
It needs something. I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
But I'll be following the line of, I'm an agriculture guy. I grew up on the farm. And your Bible uses agriculture all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, things are written in parabolic form to do with agriculture.
A sower went forth to sow.
Yes, everything.
Yep.
And so the seed of redemption's prophecy is in Genesis 3:15. And as you read a while ago in Micah, he said, unto thee shall it come. What do you find in Matthew or in Genesis 3:15? And
it shall bruise
thy head. Yeah. And the it is very obvious because before that sentence is finished, it referenced him. Jesus is what it's talking about. And so I'm going to start and help you understand that how a seed operates in germinating inside the process, then the radical or the root that starts out, and then as the root continues to grow, it puts its shoot out, and then as the root gets established, it has its stalk and its leaves, its flowers, and its fruit. I mean, it's exactly how the road to Bethlehem or the birth of Christ actually operates.
So in a brief little summary here, what you're saying is the seed starts out growing, and that seed, which is Christ,
yes,
is going to become the offshoots are going to be like the apostles.
That's why in each of those different things happen, and I'll explain it when I get into the book. But the purpose is that vine or the stalk, whichever it is, somewhere along the line, its premier purpose, take a stalk of corn. It's at a certain place, at a certain time, that the process comes that makes that ear of corn.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that go into it before it gets there. And so there's a road that you can follow through your Bible, through the historical line of how God chose, first of all, He's made Adam, but Adam is sin. So the first boy is born, and what does his mom, what does Eve say? I've gotten a man from the Lord. She thought this is their Savior. But what happens? Murder takes place. Mm-hmm. Cain kills his brother.
Yeah.
And so what you have next, and it's obvious from chapter 4 and 5, God selects Seth. Because we know later, the Bible says that Adam and Eve, they had many children. But the line that is followed through the Bible is the line of Seth. Because God is choosing which branch at that moment, which limb or whatever you want to call it, is going to be the branch. Then you come to the story of Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And what do you discover? You come to chapter 12, you come to the calling of Abram. But you've already passed through chapter 10, and you realize that this is not only Abraham's calling, but from Noah to Abraham, God chose Shem.
Now, does Genesis 6 come in the fact that the sons of God and the daughters of men, the line of Seth? And
I'm convinced it is.
I think so, too.
Well, there is no reason to have spent two chapters, chapter 4, showing the unrighteous degeneration that took place in society, and then laying over it like an overlay, chapter 5, of the line of Seth and righteousness.
Yeah.
It is no coincidence that Lamech and Enoch are the same seventh from Adam, showing that no matter how bad the world gets, you can still walk an Enoch's walk of faith in a Lamech's world. So it is very. So when you get to chapter 6, he's not talking about fallen angels having some kind of ability to do something that they were never given an ability to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so chapter number 6 is showing you that God had made a promise to humanity in Genesis 3. He's going to keep that promise, even though it's gotten down to one family, Noah. God's going to keep his promise. Now he's going to pick Shem. Out of Shem, he's going to pick Abram. Abraham was not the only descendant of Shem.
Right.
But it is obvious when you look at all of the places where he chooses individuals. He's not only choosing genealogy, because the whole purpose, according to Hebrews, is that a body will be provided for Jesus.
Yeah.
This is all about redemption. This is why just recently we looked at the Abrahamic covenant, and God alone walked between the halves, because redemption for humanity is too important for man to have any part in it. God and God alone. And so it's amazing, though, it's when you get to Abraham's life that you pick up not only genealogy, but this is when you begin to pick up God's sovereign plan of geography. He's going to start kind of like a seed. Abraham had no idea. He knows the promise that God has made him in his calling, that in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I don't think Abraham had a full understanding at all. We have the ability, because of where we are, to look all the way back through history,
yeah,
all the way through a completed word of God. And man, it's so obvious to us. But if you were living in it in the moment as they were, I doubt you would have had what we have.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? Sarah dies in chapter number 23. He needs to find a place to bury Sarah. And it's amazing, he's in the promised land. And he says this, and the Bible says in Genesis 23, verse 3, and Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. It's amazing. He's trying to find a piece of land to buy. And they, if you read the text, you realize that they said, you're a great prince. He was probably greater and more powerful in his possessions and his servants and all that he had than any of them.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he's demonstrating in many ways that you can be satisfied to be a sojourner even though you're living in the land of promise. Abraham never once lived in a city, as best we can tell.
Yeah.
Because he was looking for the city that was coming. And so then in verse number 10 it says, and Ephraim dwelt among the children of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his city. So they sat down at the city gate because they didn't have a city hall like we do.
Yeah.
All of the business transactions was taken care of at the gate of the city, and there were stones set up, and the elders of the city, usually early in the morning, as people were making their way to their fields out of the city, if there was business to be transacted, the elders would sit there, and the transaction took place before the presence of the elders, and it was like going to the courthouse and signing the contract. So Abraham, at the city gate of Ephron, we do find later, the Bible says in Genesis 48 and verse 7, talking here about Israel, or Jacob, and it said, as for me, when I came from Padanim, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan, in the way when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there on the way to Ephrath. The same is Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually, it's amazing. God has chosen Abraham. It's going to be through the seed of Abraham that a blessing for the entire world is going to be provided. So at the death of Sarah, Abraham purchased a piece of land that begins the choosing of the actual geographic place where the promise is going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. And so the city gate. Then we find that Jacob is going to bury his wife there at that same exact place. But it says in Genesis, he said that Ephraim and was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field that were in all the borders round about were made sure unto Abraham at the city gate. So he had it. Later in chapter 35, we find Israel, or Jacob, he's going to bury his wife. It's the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And it says in verse 21, and Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Adar. So here we go. You have the city gate. From the city gate, about maybe a little over a football field away, you have, standing on this big hillside, you have the Tower of Adar. The Tower of Adar in those days was where was used as a military outpost for the Jebusites, because at that time, it wasn't Jerusalem, it was Jebus.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be until David takes it becomes Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And so it was a military outpost. And so the same place where Abraham purchased the land at the city gate, the same place is where Jacob, or Israel, is going to bury his wife, and is going to settle down at the exact same place.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You're seeing genealogy and geography at the same place. Well, it doesn't end there, because we know that you go on and you find that in Joseph then ends up, you know the story down in Egypt. Then it's going to be out of Egypt. It's going to be God's choosing Moses to be a leader. And then you're going to find Joshua, and then the judges. And about a quarter of a way, or not quite halfway, into the era of the judges, you find the book of Ruth. Mm. The story of Ruth takes place about 100 years into the judges, after they've settled in the land.
Yeah.
That's when you come to the story of Ruth. And you know the story. Well, here in chapter 1, verse 2, "And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Malcolm and Chilion, Ephraites of Bethlehem, Judah." So that tells you they're living in the exact same place that originally Abraham had purchased and their father Israel had settled down.
Mm-hmm.
All of them in the same place. And you're familiar, if you aren't, you ought to read the book of Ruth. It's one of the most exciting books in the Bible.
One of my favorite.
It's tremendous.
I love it.
And when you understand the story and the picture that it's painting of the kinsman's redeemer, and you can't help but see, the sacrifice and of Jesus, so many things. And where's it at? It's taking place. Listen to it. She is going to become, Ruth is going to become Boaz's wife at the city gate.
Yeah.
That's the exact same gate that Abraham started this all.
Yeah.
So what you're seeing is this seed that started is growing together now. We have genealogy and we have geography, and it all revolves around one little place that's not any bigger than a city block.
Is there any wonder the fighting over that piece of property?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
All of this today is a part of what's called the West Bank, folks. And anyway, I'll leave it at that, but we've done quite a bit of excavation work there. And so, listen, in Ruth chapter 4, a son is born. A son is born to Boaz and Ruth. And the women, her neighbor, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." It wasn't Naomi, but it's Naomi through Ruth that the land comes back into the family, and his name is Obed. Now notice, he is the father of Jesse, the father of David.
Yeah.
Now I tell folks all the time, when those women sang that song, they did not know that. Yeah. So why does it say he's the father of Jesse and the father of David? Because the Old Testament we have is the product of bringing the Old Testament back after captivity because it had been lost. And so it's brought back into life again, and everything is brought up to date. And so what would happen? They would put that extra in there. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. They wouldn't have known that when they were talking about the baby being born. Where did it all happen? It all happened at the same city gate.
Yeah.
Everything is at that city gate. But like I said, really, your Bible, the majority of your Bible, is actually in about a 25-mile radius.
Yeah.
Almost everything is right there. When you go to Israel, you don't have to go you don't have to go 2 days' journey to find something.
I think they said that Jesus never went further than 100 miles in
probably,
any direction.
Probably right.
And it's probably less than that. But
less than that.
I think what they have right now is like a 100-mile strip of land. And surrounded by the Arab nations.
Arab nations and the Mediterranean Sea.
And they're
Sea.
Complaining that Israel is there.
Got too much land.
Yeah.
but we understand that. But then the story progresses and the storyline. You find in the book of 1 Samuel the story of David bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. What you need to understand is that he had built a new tabernacle because the old tabernacle was destroyed.
Yeah.
And it's been coming this way while the Ark of the Covenant's been going that way. He's brought the old shambles of the tabernacle in. He's built a new one, and he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant to it. When he does, he's going to reestablish proper worship because it's been in an array for a long time. So what's he going to do? He's going to take the descendants of the 24 grandsons of Aaron, and they're going to become the priesthood. Well, they need a proper place for steady reserves of lambs for sacrifice. So where would be the best place if you were David? Oh, we no longer need that Tower of Edor for a military place. Our kingdom is all the way out over here, all these miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know where it'd be a good place. Let's choose the Tower of the Flock, because they renamed the Tower of Adar to the Tower of the Flock.
Yeah.
So that would be the place where the lambs would be born. Jump forward 1,000 years, and you go to Luke, Matthew and Luke, and you find the story of the birth of Jesus at the exact same place that it all began, at the city gates of Bethlehem.
It's amazing. These places, throughout history, there are things in the Bible that happen. You just went through a whole bunch of things. And then and this isn't even the end, because, yes, he was born there, but he's coming
back. That's right.
Coming back at the end of the church age.
He was born to be the Redeemer, and he was born as the Lamb of God for the purpose of Calvary's cross.
And he's coming back to that same piece of property.
He's coming back.
He's going to rule from there
for
1,000 years. It's an amazing book, this thing called the Bible.
Amen.
And tying in geography with this the seed.
That's right.
Is amazing. Of course, God did it.
Oh, yes. Oh, you cannot. None of this could. I'm going to be trying to figure out the probability of, by chance, all of this happened. It's astronomical and could not be. It has to be directed by the providence of God.
Well, folks, there you have it. This is a new book that's coming. And this just a.
I hope to have it ready by Christmas, before Christmas.
Okay, so before Christmas, this one. But right now, these ones are ready. This book is on the website. Everything you see right there is on there. You can get it right now. None of that will matter, though, if you miss heaven. You do not know where you're going when you die. If you're not trusted in that seed that came into the world and paid your sin debt, if you haven't trusted him, none of this will matter. You'll spend eternity apart from God. If you got any problem, if you got any question, if we can help you with that, call the 800 number or message us somehow. We'd love to help you.
Amen.
Okay? Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.